Hi there, welcome along to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. Bruce Millington, David Jennings and Robbie Wilders. Hold on to your hats. It is ridiculously windy as we record here on Friday. Hopefully it's going to relent in time for the TV action, which comprises four races on the main ITV channel from Ascot. Some cracking runners in competition there. We've also got two at Haydock where it's more rain than wind that is the worry. Hopefully that will survive because good old Bristol Demai is back on his happy hunting ground. And then we've also got an ITV race from Wincanton. We'll get the other tips that the lads fancy away from the ITV racing. And also DJ's local track, Navan, hosts some decent fare on Sunday. So I've got no doubt he's hopefully got a winner or two there. Let's crack on with Ascot on Saturday first, though, is the 150. It's a three-mile Bateau London Reynoldstown Novices Chase. The going is soft. We have six runners and it's competitive. Does he know his 5-2 fav? It's Corak Rambler at 7-2, 4-1 Annual Invictus, 11-2 Doyen Breed, 7-1 Fernhill, 9-1 J'ai Froid, which I think means I'm cold in French. So it's a pretty condensed market for this one. Robbie, you can have first crack at solving it.
Yeah, I just think does he know he's been chalked up as the early favourite. I think he's vulnerable under a £3 penalty. I know his defeat of three under through five looks pretty good at the start of the season. That horse has won a couple of grade two since. But, I mean, his profile suggests he's a good ground horse. I'm not sure if he'll like it this soft, and he's had a few months off. I've backed Corak Rambler in opposition. I kind of like these novices who have got battle-hardened handicap experience over marathon trips going into these staying races. He ran quite well at Warwick in the Classic Chase, I thought, last time. He had the option of running in the handicap later on the card. I think it's quite interesting. Lucinda Russell's elected to go here instead. He's going to love the ground. I think there's plenty more to come. So, yeah, I think he can beat Does He Know.
Thank you very much, Robbie. DJ, are you well?
I'm very well. Yeah, are you?
Yeah, I'm fine. It's nice to have an Irish accent back on the show. Last week, it was very much Jelly the Eels and playing the spoons with me, Birchie and Robbie. But it's good to hear your dulcet tones again. Who do you like here?
Very little, Bruce, surprisingly. Like when you go back to, I think O'Phelan's boy in 2014 was the last horse to go on and win what is now the Brown Advisory at the festival. And
yeah, because this used to be a half, not a half decent race. This was a proper Cheltenham point. So yeah. It hasn't really been so lately, has it?
Yeah, no, it was. And any Smad Place fans from Cheltenham that year will remember O'Phelan's boy. I still don't know how Smad Place didn't win, but I always regarded it as a proper trial. But the trials seem to come a lot earlier now for that race at Cheltenham. And this is kind of late in the preparation process. I was fancying Does He Know for the ultimate Cheltenham, and then Kim Bailey came out and said he probably wouldn't be going to Cheltenham because he's a headbanger and he almost lost the plot a couple of times at the races. So he is mentally very unstable. So I'm going to be interested to watch him in the preliminaries because I think he's got a very similar profile to the type of horses that Kim Bailey likes to run the ultimate Cheltenham. If he handles it well here, and Robbie makes valid points because ground and the penalty won't make it easy for him. I think Corak Rambler is probably the most likely winner, but I won't be having a bet. But I'm going to be most interested in seeing how Does He Know handles the preliminaries because I'm very interested in him for the ultimate.
Righty-ho, let's see if DJ fancies one in a second race at Ascot, which is the 225. It's the Great British Stallion Showcase.co.uk Swinley Chase. Over 3 miles, and Fiddler on the Roof is the 9-4 fav. Then it's 7-2 Ask Me Early, 13-2 Caribbean Boy, 8s Hold That Taut, and 10-1 Bar. And David Jennings, you can go first. Who'd you like?
Probably Fiddler on the Roof, Bruce, but he's no value at the prices. Like 9-4, best price. Like he's not, you couldn't say he's really well handicapped. I know there's talk about him potentially being a dark horse for the Gold Cup. I think, honestly, I was very, very sweet in him for the Ladbrokes Trophy, the old Hennessy at Newbury. And he did basically everything right, but just didn't win. He's £5 higher now. He's had a nice break. I'm not convinced the conditions are going to really suit him. He's definitely the best horse in the race. Could you definitely say he's a 160-plus horse? Probably not. Do I think he'll beat this lot? Probably. Would I back him at 9-4? Probably not.
Blimey. vague David Jennings today. What's happened?
Hopefully. Oh, no, there's one coming. There's one coming.
Oh, okay, good. I'm glad to hear that. Jolly good. Robbie, I very rudely asked DJ how he was without asking you how you are. So we'll get that out of the way. Are you well, my friend?
Yeah, it didn't go unnoticed, mate. Yeah.
No, I know. I know. I've got a few emails from you I've noticed that I haven't opened yet. They'll be abusive. Are you all right, mate?
Yeah, I'm all right. I was actually, I'm worried if you're all right, mate, because I found out the other day that someone accidentally broke your Radiohead cuff in the office.
What?
Yeah, it was smashed in. I mean, I'm not a grass. I'm not going to say who it was, but...
Well...
You won't be seeing that again.
You're kidding me?
No, not at all. That big Radiohead fan myself as well, so I was equally as disappointed.
That's a disaster. Whoever, I haven't been in there since.
Whoever did that is a creep.
Oh, very good. Yeah. Nice. Very good.
That's
a disaster because of the Palace mug has been stolen. Someone's had that away. And now the Radiohead mug's been smashed. That's horrific news.
Yeah, someone's out to get you.
I'm not happy about that. Cheer me up by giving me the winner of the 225.
Yeah, well, DJ's not too warm on Fiddler, but I think he gets the job done here. I've backed him as well. We're not allowed to say I've backed him earlier in the week. That's
well, what's the point? What good does it do apart from making you?
The relevance is he's much shorter now and he probably doesn't represent as much value. But I think the fact is, I think he's going to win this. You know, the Tizzards are obviously looking at running him in the Gold Cup. If he's going to run in that, he's going to have to be winning this quite well off a mark of 155. I just think he's improved this season. He looks really good in the Ladbrokes Trophy. He's a bit unlucky there in the time before that. And the Colin Parker, really good winner of that. That's turned out to be quite a good race. 8 years old, improving. I just think he is quite well treated off 155. And if he's as good as it is, I think, then he should be scoring here.
Is the mug completely smashed or is just like the handle come off? Can I do something
all
with
I'm saying
some
is
super glue?
All the remnants are in the bin now.
Well, that sounds like a malicious act to me.
I saw it happen as well. I did.
We'll talk further about this.
Wilders aren't grasses, so if you're trying to get a name out of me, think again.
Okay, we shall pick that up offline, as people say. The 3 o'clock at Ascot is the 2 mile, 3.5 furlongs, Dingley's Promise handicap hurdle. And Good Risk at All is the 15-8 Fav, followed by Cap de Matin at 9-2. Then it's 6-1 Zaccone Rebel, 9-1 Highway 102, and 12-1 Bar. How many have we got in this? We've got 13 in this, so hopefully there's some extra places. Let's have a quick look. Skybet 5, William Hill 4, Paddy Power 4, Betfair 4, Bet365 4. So don't just shop around for best prices, shop around for best place terms. Robbie, over to you. Good Risk at All, fairly short favourite for Sam Thomas and Charlie Deutsch. Do you fancy him?
Yeah, I do. I don't like putting up all these favourites, but I just think he's going to be a class apart. I mean, he was a really good bump horse last season. I mean, he's got the form behind John Bond at Newbury this season as well. It just looks like he's on a good mark. He ran in a 2 mile Warwick race on his handicap debut last time off 124. He just looked like he needed a little step up in trip there. He finished ominously. He's gone up £3. He gets an extra 3.5 furlongs. I just think he's much better than that rating. And I just thought Charlie Deutsch riding for Sam Thomas is quite interesting. I mean, no one's riding better than Charlie Deutsch at the moment. And you'd have had an £8 profit to £1 stakes if you'd have backed all Deutsch and Thomas horses together. So I thought that was quite interesting.
Thomas's career has just taken off now, isn't it? It seems to have gone up a level, doesn't it?
He's just well. A man to note on these Saturdays, these dive water horses. He just really seems to be going about his business well. So, yeah, couldn't put you off. Good Risk at All.
Okay, then. Who do you like, DJ?
Good Risk at All. There is.
Is this the big one, or is that still to come?
No. There's a big one to come, and a similar type of team. To be honest with you, Bruce, there's an awful lot of British novices this season that are really lowly rated, and that's going to be the big difference at the festival. If some of them mightn't even get in, which is a bit worrying. And there's one who I'd say wants to run at the festival but needs to win tomorrow to get in, and he will. But so many of them, like I wasn't on the show last week, and I fancied I like to move it in the Betfair Hurdle, but I actually thought there was about 4 or 5 really well handicapped horses in the Betfair Hurdle novices that were rated in the 130s that last year or the year before would have been definitely rated in the 140s. And I know I like to move it nearly one, and some of them were disappointing, but the general team is definitely, you're noticing all season, these novices in Britain are rated much lower than they would have been years ago. Even Constitution Hill has got a mark of 148. 2 years ago, he would have got 155 or 156, definitely. So it's interesting. With Good Risk at All, he's rated 127. I'd say he's one of the best horses in Sam Thomas's yard. he should cope with conditions. I think the step up and trip is key here. I think it'll allow him to jump a little bit better, and he won't be taken out of his comfort zone as he has been on a couple of occasions with his jumping. Like, he's 127. I wouldn't be surprised if he was 14 something by the end of the season. That's how good I think he is. So it's just a case of whether he gets into a rhythm or not. And he can probably even afford to make one or two mistakes. He looks a bit of a good thing.
Okay, jolly good. How many winners will Ireland have at the festival, DJ?
I will go for about 19-9, I'd say.
And what's the real answer?
No, I think Britain will win a good few handicaps. Like, I do another show where we have a selection every week, and I've tipped a couple of British horses that I think have chances. But yeah, I don't think it's going to be like 26-2. Like,
no, okay.
What do you
think?
Well,
we'll see, won't we? I don't know. It's so difficult, isn't it? I don't know. I just don't know. It's hard enough to pin down an individual race without trying to get the correct score from all 28, isn't it? Let's move on to the 3:38 at Ascot. What a belter it is. 2 miles, 5 furlongs the trip for the Betfair Ascot Chase. Fakir Doudary is over from Joseph O'Brien. Jardin is the 5-2 fav with Fanion Destrevel at 9-2 along with San Calvados. Mr. Fisher is 5-1. DJ will be tipping that, no doubt. Dashiell Drash is 6. He's lost in translation 12. 2 for gold 25. And good old waiting patiently out to 25s. What a race, David Jones.
Yeah, hopefully, because I wasn't on last week, Mr. Fisher stopped listening to the show, because I'm gonna go against him this time.
Oh, blimey, really?
Yeah,
he wins the race and you desert him.
I know, yeah, and he was very good at Kempton. He had to win that race though, really, and I know the form has worked out, but he is a very good horse on his day. I just don't think he's as good as Fakir Doudary is, who has absolutely everything in his favour. And I couldn't believe, like, Joseph O'Brien had said for the last kind of fortnight that this was where he was going. And when the bet was chalked up on this earlier on in the week, he was like fourth favourite. And there was rain coming. I just couldn't get over it. It was bonkers. He is the second best 2.5 mile chaser in training, I'd say, after Alaho. He was second in last year's Ryanair. I actually thought he ran really well in the Horse and Jockey Chase at Thurles last time. He uncharacteristically made a terrible mistake at the first. He almost came down, and I thought Mark Walsh might even pull him up, but he kept going. And I liked what he did on the second circuit. I really did. I thought he got into a better rhythm. And I said, this horse is going to have a serious spring this year. Like, go back to his performance at Aintree. He earned an RPR of 170 when he won the Mars Chase, which was formerly the Melling. Like, he had Politolog in behind, itchy feet, nuts well. That sort of performance here is going to blow these out of the water. He has conditions in his favour. He has the perfect trip. He's really good going right-handed as well. And to be honest, I think he's more a 6-4 shot than a 5-2 shot.
Oh, interesting. Stick with us, listeners. I'm sure the boys will tip something other than a favourite at some point. Robbie?
Well, not just yet, mate, because I'm all over Fakir. I've got similar notes to DJ, actually. I was shocked that the bookmakers have only really cottoned on to the fact that he should be favourite. He's got the best form in the race. I just feel like, sort of a bit like Min and Altior, I just feel like Fakir Doudary is a bit unlucky. He's just in the same era as Alaho. I mean, that horse is an absolute freak. And Fakir is a very good horse in his own right. Yeah, I just think he's got everything in his favour. 2.5 miles around Ascot, soft ground, perfect. He does do well when he comes over to Britain as well, as DJ points out. He was brilliant at Aintree. Yeah, I think he gets the job done here. And I'd say that the kind of 5-2 available at the moment is still value to me.
Splendid. OK, stick with us. In 10 seconds' time, we'll be looking at Haydock's ITV races.
The Racing Postcast is supported by Racing Post Members Club. Featuring award-winning journalism, expert tips, and renowned form study tools, this is the only racing subscription you need to stay ahead of the field. If you're a new customer, you can use the code POST22, that's POST22, to get 50% off your first 3 months of Members Club Ultimate. That works out at just £17.48 per month to unlock all of the premium features, and it renews at full price thereafter. Head to racingpost.com/postcast for all of the details and to claim.
Welcome back to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. Bruce Millington, David Jennings and Robbie Wilders. Let's look at the other three ITV races that support the Ascot action. Start with the 205 at Haydock, 3.5 miles for the William Hill Rendlesham Hurdle at Grade 2. 6 runners, heavy going, and this is proper Haydock heavy. There is more to come, so hopefully the meeting will go ahead. Here they are. Thomas Darby is 2-1 fav. Molly Ollie's Wish is 9-4. Third Wind, 9-2. Topville Ben 8s. Holstone 12s. Emmitom 14s. Robbie Wilders, take it away. Who wins this?
Yeah, I really don't like the top two here. Thomas Darby, I know he's the best horse in the race. He's got a £6 penalty, though, but he's just a little bit inconsistent for my liking. And I don't think his perfect conditions are heavy ground over 3 miles. I think he's vulnerable. Molly Ollie's Wishes is the next in. I just think she's quite a quick mare. She gets 3 miles, but if she gets 3 miles on heavy ground at Haydock, I'm not so sure. So I think you've got to be looking for a real mud lover who's going to get the trip, and I've backed Topfield Ben. I know he's got a lot to find on the figures, but I mean, he proved his suitability to the test at Lingfield last time. His form on heavy ground just absolutely miles better than anything on quicker. He gets £6 from the top two horses, Third Wind and Thomas Darby, and he's about 8-1 at the moment. I can see that shortening quite a bit, and I just want to mention Third Wind as well, actually, because he won this last season. The conditions have really come right for him as well. I think he will be the one for me of the top three. But I just think Topville Ben is going to outrun his odds.
Okay, thank you very much. Rob, Topville Ben is Robbie's selection. Who's DJ's selection?
This is ridiculous. I fancy Topville Ben as well. I thought this was one excellent that I might get away from Robbie on.
Too big, isn't it?
It's just... Like with Thomas Darby, he's one of these horses, you can fancy him when he's a kind of a double figure price in a better race and you can make a good case, but he's just not reliable. And over this trip, he's not a thorough, proper stayer that's going to really enjoy a slog. He's more of a classier type of traveller. And I don't think the way this race is going to pan out is going to suit him, because I'd imagine that Tommy Dawson is going to try and turn it into a proper test and run the sting out of the kind of sexier horses. And I think with Topfield Ben, like, you go through his form, and while he was a lucky winner at Toaster when he was long odds on earlier on in his career, I think any horse that can handle like heavy ground at Toaster is a real, real mudlark. And here, when you go through there's a couple of different pieces of form where I think he could actually have a big chance. Certainly some of his chase wins from a couple of years ago put him right into the mix. Like, I think he got up to a mark of 164 over fences this time last year, a little bit earlier. So he has got classy form. Like, you see that rating of 140 and you think it's not high enough to win a race this caliber, but he was a very decent chaser. His form on heavy ground, I think his figures are 1-1, F3-1. So he's fine on the surface, and he comes in on the back of a win, whereas a lot of them are coming in, you know, Third Wind, I think, is a little bit out of form. He ran okay in that pretend qualifier at Warwick. But I think Topfield Ben ticks a lot of boxes, as Robbie said.
Okay. God, I got wistful there when you mentioned Toaster. I do miss the place. I really wish they'd reopened Toaster. What a great race course. The 240 at Haydock is the William Hill Grand National Trial. It's a grade three, over 3 miles, 4.5 furlongs. And the favourite is Secret Reprieve at 11-4. Then we've got Sam Brown at sixes, Black Lion at eights, Bristol Demai, the King of Haydock, is 8-1. What's going on? Encarde is 17-2, as is Time to Get Up. And then the Galloping Bear is 10-1. We've got 11 runners. Let's see who's giving us more places. Yeah, Skybet, William Hill, and Betfair, 4 places. So, DJ, who do you like here?
Sam Brown, Bruce.
The big one you talked about?
No.
Oh, this is another of your standing orders, isn't it, Sam Brown?
Yeah, he is. There's a few of them in here, actually. So there is. There's quite a few you could add. You know, obviously Black Lion, Bristol Demai over the years to that list. But like that performance last time in the Peter Marsh, being beaten a half length by Royal Pagai, who I think has got a massive chance in the Gold Cup, if there's any bit of cut in the ground. It just proved to me, I've spoken to Anthony Honeyball about this horse. I made a beeline for him one day at Punchdown. And I said, Anthony, you've got the best handicapped horse in training in Sam Brown. This is a couple of years ago. He says, I know, he says, but it's just impossible to keep him right, he said. He's just really, really tricky. And obviously, it's been really hard to get him to a race course because he hasn't ran that much over the years. But he's now ran December, January, and now he's back in February. So I'd say Anthony has had a pretty clear run with him. I loved his performance at Haydock. He kept jumping. He kept travelling. He kept pulling out more all the way to the line and made Royal Pagai pull out all the stops. He's only gone up £2 for that. Haydock, 3 mile, 4.5 furlongs, heavy ground, is Sam Brown's terms and conditions. That's exactly what he wants. And I think he'll take a hell of a lot of beat.
Excellent. You make a great case for your old mucker, Sam Brown. Robbie, who are you going to go for?
I don't know. Like, I agree with DJ that Sam Brown is really well handicapped, but I just have my doubts over an extra 3 furlongs on heavy. I know he got 3 mile 1.5 well behind Broadbent Guy on soft last time. But, I mean, this is a horse who's quick enough to win over 2.5 miles. I just don't know if he'll be seeing it out as strongly as some others. Unoriginal, again, slightly, but I do think Secret Reprieve is going to be hard to beat. He's got no weight on his back whatsoever. I just think he was a bit unlucky. Evan Williams wanted to get a prep run into him before the Welsh National. He couldn't find the suitable opportunity because of the kind of fast ground at that time of year. He's been dropped 2 pounds. We know he's going to stay. He's one of the few horses in the field who's definitely going to see out that trip well. He's got a low weight in the conditions, as I say. And, yeah, I just think we're only really just sort of scratching the surface of Secret Reprieve. I think he's going to be much better than he's shown. We're looking at a horse here who, if the Welsh National wasn't rearranged, then we'd be looking at the only six-year-old other than Native River to win the race in the last 16 years. So I just think he's very good, and there's a lot more to come from Secret Reprieve.
Righty-ho, thank you very much, chaps. And now across to Wincanton for their ITV race, which is the 3:20. 1 mile 7 furlongs and 50 yards is the trip. For the Kingwell Hurdles, sponsored by Wincanton Matchbook Betting Exchange. Actually, I'll try that again. It's the Wincanton Matchbook Betting Exchange Kingwell Hurdle. I can't believe that Wincanton's got its own betting exchange, but it might do. Who knows? Anyway, Goshen is the fav. That's the key thing here at 5-6. Adagio 11-4. Favoir 14s. And Llandinabo Lad. That must be some village in Wales. It's 25-1. So Goshen, excellent last time. Will he follow up here, or will Adagio have his number, Rob?
I don't think he will. This will be his third run in quite a short period of time, and we all know Goshen isn't one for maximum trust. I just think Adagio should probably be favourite. I think he comes from an exceptional crop of five-year-olds. I think last season juveniles are really good, and if you go back for his form, he's never finished out the first two. He could have even won his second grade on Aintree if he didn't get the last completely wrong when Mummeral beat him. His comeback run in the Greatwood, I mean, a four-year-old carried 11 stone 10 in such a competitive handicap and almost winning it. I thought that was testament that this is a proper grade one horse. And I just don't think Goshen will be able to give him £3, to be honest.
Well, we'll see. DJ, what do you reckon?
Goshen can do anything he wants to do. It depends on what kind of humour Goshen is in, doesn't it? I have no idea. I've just kind of given up betting and tipping in races that Goshen is in, because you just do not know what he's going to do. Like, if the Goshen that showed up in this race last year turns up, sure, he's an absolute certainty. Whether he'll do that or not, I don't know. I think he produced an RPR of 163 when he won this last year, and it was over at halfway. Like, the race was actually over at halfway. Sound for someone obviously didn't travel. He looked kind of back to something like that last time at Sandon, and certainly his RPR suggests he did. The ground is obviously a big help to him, and going this way around is obviously a big help to him. But sure, like, who knows what he's going to do? If the real Goshen shows up, he wins. If the real Goshen doesn't show up, he doesn't win. So, Bruce, your guess is as good as mine.
Yeah, I hear you, Brad. I mean, it's just difficult, isn't it? It's such a shame because, you know, if you look at that Triumph Hurdle run, he just looked like he had, you know, the world at his feet, even though he obviously met with that calamity. Just hasn't happened since, has it? But he just remains a talented enigma.
And even in that Triumph Hurdle, Bruce, like, we all think, you know, the Triumph Hurdle. But, like, the winner burning victory, obviously, was just beating the Cesaro, which by Buzz, and is a leading fancy for the Mayor's Hurdle. Like, Aspire Tower ran well in the Champion Hurdle last year. All Mankind was third. The Wave of the Sea is still winning races now. Like,
It wasn't a rubbish one, was it?
It wasn't a rubbish one. He would have won it by 20 lengths. Yeah, so we know that natural ability is there. He's just a headbanger.
I'm just about getting over it. Right, let's get the rest of the Saturday picks next. We've done the TV action. Let's look and see what else the boys fancy on Saturday and indeed Sunday. We've got Lingfield, hopefully. This is all weather, wind and weather permitting. We've got the undercards on the TV, Garran Park in Ireland and Newcastle on the all weather. So don't give your naps away just yet, but what else do you like? We'll start with David Jennings.
Yeah, interesting action at Garran Park, Bruce. First great race is the 220, the Red Mills Trial Hurdle. Calixios, last year's Triumph Hurdle winner, runs against Tihupu. They're a new rivalry again. It's going to be interesting. I think Tihupu probably was lucky enough to win last time against Calixtus at Limerick, because I thought Calixtus went a little bit too soon. But I do think there's more improvement in Tihupu. I think he'll handle the ground, and I think he's going to be hard to beat here again, Tihupu. The ratings suggest he definitely shouldn't be as short as he is, 13-8 best price, but I think he will win. That's Tihupu in the 220. And just two more for you, Bruce. Mellon is a hot favourite to win the 330, the Red Mills Chase. I think he hasn't won for like 700 and something days. Like, he's only won two hurdle races and a chase in his career, which is hard to believe. He's rated 164. He really should win. But just against him, I thought Chatham Street Lad was a bit of value. Chatham Street Lad won that, I think it was called maybe the Caspian Caviar Gold Cup at the time, but I think it's the Racing Post December Gold Cup now, is it? Maybe, I'm not sure.
Yes.
But he is a good horse on his day. He's been tricky to train. He will absolutely love these conditions of Goran. And I think against Mellon, he's a little bit of value. He has to give Mellon £3, but I think Chatham Street Lad could be a bit of value with that 330.
And I see Mellon, DJ, sorry, just to jump in there. Mellon's in the Nash, isn't he? He could be one of the leading knights there. What do you think of his chances? Who's your Grand National fancy, by the way, quickly at this point?
What a legend Mellon is. Probably any second now. He's obviously a good bit higher, but okay. I said last year after nearly being brought down that he'll win it this year, so I'm going to stay alive. But my national record is atrocious.
Okay. Who's your other Saturday fancy?
Sorry, just one other one at Gordon in the 405. Grand Paradis for Gordon Elliott and Dennis O'Regan. Keep a very, 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 very close eye on this horse, because I think he could have a massive chance in either the Paddy Power Plate or perhaps the Kim Muir at Cheltenham.
Ooh, excellent. Thank you very much. Over to Robbie. Robbie, quickly, what's your Grand National fancy at this juncture?
I like Santini. I mean, we've been saying for years he just probably needs like 4.5 miles to show his best. And he's come down in the weights despite running quite a good race behind Chantry House in the Cotswold Chase last time. I think he's still quite a big price. I think Santini will go well, and that's apparently the long-term target.
Okay, interesting. What else have you got for us on Saturday?
Yeah, a couple of Haydock, Bruce. The potential qualifier at 3:15. I quite like horses in these kind of races that are rated quite lowly, and they're going to need to win by some way to get up through the ratings. A lot of the horses at the top of rating much higher than Bill Baxter. He's up 119, but I think he's got quite a good profile. He was a very good bump horse last season. He's just taken a little while to warm up to his hurdle races. But he has found himself quite well treated off a mark of 119. He handles testing ground well, looks all about stamina. And the booking of Brian Hughes catches the eye for me. And in the following race, the 350 at Haydock, the stay and novice hurdle race. You've got Hillcrest in there, who's obviously been a big talking horse this season. He's got a carrier penalty, though. I think he might be vulnerable on heavy ground over 3 miles. I quite like Scipion in opposition. He looks like he was crying out for 3 miles in the Leamington when he was third to Staghorn last time. I think that horse is much better than we've seen. He's going to light the ground as well. And in that race as well, there's a horse called Ready Steady Bow who's going to go off an absolutely massive price. But I think he's got quite an interesting profile for this. He's only rated 114, but he'll absolutely love these conditions. And it's quite significant, I think, that Lucinda Russell's decided to come here instead of the potential qualifier who's entered in that. I just think a lot of horses, they find it tough, these novices running over 3 miles on heavy, but this horse looks to be quite well suited by those. So I think there might be an upset in the greater Haydock at 3.
28-1, Rob.
That's quite, I think, yeah, you get better on the exchanges as well. So yeah, keep an eye. I can't see that coming in much either. So we'll okay. Keep our eyes on.
Well, it will do now. You've tipped it, I'm sure. Let's get the naps. Stevie?
This will not be beaten.
We'll start with Robbie Wilders.
3:35 at Ascot, Fakir Dudery.
Thank you very much. David Jennings.
All right, I'm gonna unleash me now, Bruce.
Okay, here we go.
Yeah, it's not a big price and people will be really disappointed, but this is as good a 2-to-1 shot as you're ever going to find. Mr. Glass in the 3:58 at Wincanto. Now, I've been following this horse throughout his whole career. And I'm embarrassed to say he's running off a mark of 127, because that doesn't even begin to tell you how talented this horse is. Like, this is a horse that someday I think will win a Hennessy or a Ladbrokes trophy and could end up someday running the Gold Cup. That's how good I think he might be in years to come. Like, he's run off, this is my point earlier on the show where I said about these British novices getting low marks. Like, he got a mark of 129 before he ran in the Tolworth at Sandown. Now, this in no way whatsoever is a 2-miler. He needs 3 miles and he's going to eventually become a proper stay and chaser. go through his career at Wetherby when he won a bumper over Christmas in 2020, be paramount by 11 lengths. Just go back and have a look. It was almost unraceable. And the way he galloped from the furlong pole to the line was extraordinary, I thought. He came out next time, wasn't flashy, won a bumper at Haydock. He won his first two hurdles this year over 2 miles, 3.5 and 2 miles, 6 at Chepstow and Newcastle. And then he was thrown into the Tolworth, which was absolutely bonkers. But it was, I'd say, quite clever. It was trying to teach the horse, I'd imagine, to jump at speed and just to mentally improve him, I'd imagine, from Paul Nicholls. He finished third. He was 7 lengths in front of Shall We Have One More, who came out and won next time and is now rated by 20 lengths and is now rated 133. Mr. Glass has been dropped 2 pounds to 127. He now steps up and trip, and Paul Nicholls knows he needs to kind of come up to run in the good kind of races at the spring festivals. I don't know whether he runs Cheltenham. It might be a year too early for him. But over 2 miles, 5.5 furlongs on probably soft to heavy ground, it'll probably be heavy come race time at Wincanton. This horse, if he's beaten off 127, something will seriously have to go wrong. I think he should be odds on. So if you get 2-1, I'd advise people to take that.
Right, you are then. Okay, very, very clear advice there for DJ. He promised us a big one and he delivered. Rob, do you fancy anything on Sunday? We've got Musselburgh and Newbury, and then we've got Navan as well. Or have you sat Sunday out?
No, I've got one in the 220 at Navan, the Boyne Hurdle. It's actually a really good field, actually. It's 14 runners. I quite like Longhouse Poet here. I know he's being aimed at the Nationals.
That's price-wise, his national
team, isn't it? And I know he is being aimed at those races, but, I mean, Tiger Roll won this as a stepping stone to the National a few years ago. I know that's unusual. But, I mean, Longhouse Poet, he absolutely loves heavy ground. He's got a bit of classy back form over hurdles as well. I just think he's one of the few horses in this on the up. You've got the likes of Ronald Pump, Durasso, Darva Star, not really improving. I think this horse is on a sharp upward curve. And, I mean, this looks a good bit of placing because he'll love conditions and it's not going to ruin his chase mark. So I think he'll be quite a decent price as well. I could see him running quite well.
Okay, thank you, Robbie Wilders. David Jennings, what have you got for us at your local track on Sunday?
Yeah, it's a mad race, the Boyne Hurdle. Like, usually there's like 5 or 6 runners and one of them is Tiger Roll and kind of it's a 2-horse race. But this is, I don't think I've ever remembered the Boyne Hurdle like it. You know, I can see where Robbie is coming from, but I think Longhouse Poet has it all to do. Like, Ronald Pump is rated 156, so he's rated £12 inferior to him. And there's a lot of good horses in this race, like Darva Star must have a massive chance. I thought probably got to the front a little bit too soon at Lingfield last time against Bruno Pastorum, but he'd be the one that I just about side with. But I wouldn't be one bit surprised. He'd be a big price, but Ashdale Bob will run well here. Unfortunately, he has to give way to a good few of them, but he is a good horse who's just gradually getting the hang of things again back over hurdles after failed stints chasing. So I think Ashdale Bob in each way price, he'd be double figures, could run well, but I think Darva Star would probably be hard to beat. And then just later on in the card, Bruce, in the 10 up novice chase, the grade 2, this is really interesting because Gordon Elliott runs Run Wild Fred, who's obviously a joint favourite for the National Hunt Chase at Cheltenham, but he also runs Farouk Delenn and Brayside, and then you got Beacon Edge for Noel Mead as well, who won the Drinmore. And while Run Wild Fred will probably be, favourite or certainly, yeah, he will be favourite to Run Wild Fred. I wouldn't be surprised if Farouk Delenn really did put it up to him. I think Farouk Delenn ran well against Statler last time. I think Statler will win the National Hunt Chase at Cheltenham. So I just about side with Farouk Delenn over Run Wild Fred.
And that's in the 4.05. Excellent. Okay, before I let you go, was the handicapper unfair on Tiger Roll? Yes or no, Robbie Wilders?
He was unfair. I mean, the horse is 12 years old. He's not as good as he once was. There's no way. I mean, he won the National 159 a couple of years ago. There's no way he's better than that now. I'd have given him another £5, to be honest.
Okay. DJ?
I did a whole column on it for tomorrow.
Just give us the gist.
The gist of it is, I can see both sides. I actually don't think he could have went any lower because, as I pointed out, if you're in a golf society and you win 2 captain's prizes of the last 3, there's no way you could play the next captain's prize off a mark, off a handicap higher than the one you won the previous one off. So no matter how bad you were playing. So I think he couldn't possibly put him off 159 or lower. So it was either going to be 160, 161, 162, around that. I think that's what he had to do. Could he win it off that? Absolutely not. Did they ever intend running him in the Grand National this year? Probably not. I think everything has been geared towards Cheltenham for this horse, and I think people should take 4-1 Tiger Roll for the cross country now, because I think he'll go off 6-4.
Interesting. Okay, gents, thank you very much indeed for your input. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to bet responsibly. Maddie and the crew are back on Monday to pick the bones out of the weekend and look ahead to next weekend, which we will be previewing in further detail. Highlights being the Ida at Newcastle, the Coral Trophy Handicap Chase, which used to be the Racing Post Chase at Kempton, and the Winter Derby sponsored by Betway down at Lingfield. So hopefully you can join us for that. Have a fantastic weekend.